Welcome to the LarryInFishers.com podcast. I'm Larry Lannon. There is a nonprofit group in the Fishers area that matches up adult mentors with students in the Hamilton Southeastern schools in need of a mentor. That group is the Youth Mentoring Initiative, also called YMI for short. The executive director of YMI is Allison Gatz. I spoke with Allison Gatz during the morning of Monday, November 19. I'm at the Ignite Space at the Fishers Public Library, part of the Hamilton East Library System, takes in both Noblesville and Fishers. If you haven't been to the Ignite Space, you need to visit that. The easiest way to get there is through an elevator or stairs near the reference section of the library. The facilities here are very impressive. They have 3D printers. They have art supplies. They have places to perform your art. We are in the what's called the AV studio, which I love to use, even though I use my own equipment. They have their equipment as well. But the acoustics in this room are just perfect. So if you've not seen the Ignite Space, come down, ask for a tour. The staff here will be glad to give you a tour. My guess is that there's something of interest to almost everyone here in the Ignite Space. It's only been open for a few months now, so I would certainly hope you take advantage of the opportunity to tour this facility. My guest today is Allison Gatz. She's the executive director for the Youth Mentoring Initiative. So, Allison, it's great to have you.
I'm so glad to be here.
Yeah, and I remember the time you and I first met. It was back on August 30th. Mm-hmm. You were having your fundraising breakfast on the grounds of the Ambassador House near 106th and Eller Road, back in that area that the Fishers Parks Department takes care of. And you told me the story of how you made that very quick transition from volunteer to executive director. Tell the audience how that happened.
It was actually pretty crazy. So I'd had a part-time job for a while at the Fishers YMCA, and just kind of doing some part-time work while my kids were young and getting into their school career. And in one of our committees, I guess, that I was involved with, it was called Exceeding Expectations. And the executive director, Jake, asked us to go out to the community and do a service project. And so I don't do anything small if I'm going to do it. I normally go all out and give 100%. And I just really kind of felt like there needed to be almost like an adult mentoring in the community, because I saw this really great active older adult community that's in the YMCA, and they have so much wisdom and so many life experiences to share. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if we could take some of their wisdom and partner it up with some of these young parents that I see coming into the Wellness Center of the Y? And so I thought, well, who knows mentoring? Okay, well, YMI is around, so how about I reach out to them and see what they could teach me about mentoring? And so I kind of left that conversation and scratching my head, and I told my husband, I said, I'm not exactly sure, but I think I might have just accepted a job with them, but I'm not sure. And so they wanted to bring me on to help create a parent liaison role that would come alongside the parents of our mentees in the program. And so, you know, I just started creating forms and new processes and ways to increase efficiencies. And I guess I just kind of got carried away, because now I'm executive director.
Just sort of happened.
Yeah, I know. Just overnight, right?
And when you explain that to me, it's like, you know, I really just wanted to get involved. Next thing I knew, I was the executive director, and it just happened so fast.
It did. You know, and people say that all the time, and not necessarily with a job, but even with, you know, life partners or anything that's worth having in life, sometimes it finds it has a way of finding you rather than you going out and finding it.
It's happened to me many times, so yeah. I know the feeling. Now, looking at your bio, you have a background in criminal justice. That was your major in college. Yeah. I see you also studied political science, which I studied in college as well. But in the past, you've worked in probation and youth detention, sort of, you know, the parts of the criminal justice system that relates to youth. So how does that experience have any impact on how you approach this job at YMI?
You know, I think my mindset from my educational background comes more from a logistical kind of standpoint. And, in my probation work, I was able to really kind of witness firsthand how things are set up in the court systems and how we need to document everything and how there needs to be policies and procedures, and everything needs to be pretty cut and dry. And so that's one of the things that I've brought in. And Amy Krall's our director of operations, and she's absolutely just amazing. I get an idea, and she just takes it and runs with it and puts pen to paper. And we've been able to do some pretty amazing things behind the scenes that not necessarily doesn't have anything to do with the direct mentoring of kids, but from an organizational standpoint, we are so much further along than we were a year ago.
Well, I remember when I covered courts and I was a police reporter many years ago and got to know the judges, you also got to know the people at the probation department. Mm-hmm. And what people, I think, don't understand how important that, because it's not a high-profile part of government, but I know almost every judge I ever knew took that probation report and followed it almost. Yeah. I mean, the judge doesn't have to, but normally the judges either give it a great deal of credence or just go exactly with your recommendation.
Yeah, it's it was probably my most favorite part of the job was going in and doing the pre-sentence investigation report and going to the jail and meeting with the person that is looking at being charged and sentenced and really kind of getting the backstory. Mm-hmm. And I kind of do that in all aspects of my life. I just want to know everybody's story. You know, I want to go behind the action a little bit.
And when you find the story, you find there's always more to it than you think.
Exactly.
And that's your perspective. Now, back to why am I looked at your board of directors list. I knew some of them, and I think some are fairly new, but mm-hmm. it's a who's who of local leaders, really, on your board of directors. You've got former school board member, and she served as president during her tenure many times of the board, Katrina Hockemeyer. The former HSC high school principal, now he's a central office administrator, and Matt Kegley. You've got the Fishers fire chief, Steve Arusa. Crystal Thorpe, she's the principal of Fishers Junior High School. And you've got the president of the Fishers City Council, Todd mm-hmm. Zimmerman. So how do you go about recruiting these people? I'm sure that every nonprofit board's looking for community leaders, but you've really done that here. How do you go about recruiting these members of your board?
You know, they were there when I came on board, no pun intended, and they're amazing. You know, they really get the mission of YMI, and they work really hard to make sure that we're going in the direction that we need to go. And we actually just brought on two new board members. I think it was official back in August when we had the mayor's breakfast. And so we have Ashley Elrod, who's with the city. She's joined our board. And then also Betsy Block, who is a pretty influential person in the community. And I'm really excited to have both those ladies on our board.
That's right. Ashley Elrod works directly under Mayor Scott Fadness mm-hmm. at City Hall as a kind of an outreach community relations, media relations mm-hmm. person. So obviously I know who she is. But and it just enhances the fact that you've got people back with connections to all parts of the community. So let me take this another step, because Youth Mentoring Initiative, which is YMI, at its core, when you look at it and everything I've seen, is it's a partnership between the HSC school system and your nonprofit organization. Mm-hmm. So talk about how that partnership works.
So when YMI was started back 10 years ago, 2008, the original mission, which still holds today, is to partner with HSC schools. So we've established that partnership. So we've kind of fulfilled that. But now how do we go a little bit deeper? So when we first started, it might have been, you know, at one school with a couple kids. And now we're in all the intermediates, we're in all the junior highs, and we're in both high schools. So we went from maybe one school with a couple kids, and now we have 160 matches. And kids are being recommended on a daily basis. And so it is just absolutely a joy to sit back and see that growth and that development and being able to expand our reach. And now that we've had staff, why my staff now in the schools that we're running a mentoring program in, they're able to be that go-between between the school staff and the mentees and the mentors, and also now the parents, to kind of come alongside them a little bit too.
Well, how are these young people referred to you? How do the school people in the school staff, who are counselors and maybe mental health professionals, wherever it may come from, mm-hmm. how do they identify someone to say, you know, I think YMI may be able to help you? How does that work?
It's kind of multifaceted in that if a student is already on the radar of a guidance counselor, then that guidance staff will kind of roundtable it and discuss different referral sources that might be available for the student. But we've also expanded it to where parents now can recommend their students. So if they know that they're going through something at home, whether it be something, you know, that mom and dad are maybe getting divorced, or maybe they're the family's new to the area, and so they know that the children or child might have a hard time meeting new friends, just kind of those life situations where just having another person kind of in their life to keep them on the right track is pretty necessary, I think.
So it really happens at the staff level of the schools, mostly from the guidance counselors, mm-hmm. but parents themselves can also reach out to you as well. I know what part of the process is not just identifying the student, but you have people who volunteer their time to be mentors. Is there a process as to how you match the two?
Yeah, we have a software system that actually would give us the opportunity to let it do the matching for us, but we want to put a more personal approach on it. And so what we've instituted this year is we have a director of mentor development, Jennifer Kimball, and she gets to know these mentors really, really well when they first come on board, and kind of gets to know their personal attributes and their life experiences. And then we have the YMI school staff at the school level that gets to know the kids, and they get to know who might be a good mentor for that child. And so those campus gals, what we lovingly call them, is they get together every couple weeks and they talk about, okay, who are the new mentors coming in? Who are the new kids coming in? And who's going to be a really great fit for each other? And if we don't have that mentor available, then what do we need? What are the characteristics of that person? So then we can go out and intentionally try and find that mentor for that special student. Perfect example is we got a student from one of the high schools a couple weeks ago, and the mom reached out and said she would really prefer the mentor to be Hispanic and speak Spanish, not necessarily for the student, but for the rest of the family. So when we're you know, having those conversations with mom and dad and maybe even siblings, that we have somebody that might be able to speak their language, and we won't have that language barrier.
Quick story: my twin daughters are now in their 20s; they're adults. But I remember when they were in first grade. That was a long time ago. They had a friend who's Japanese, and her parents spoke no English, but she spoke both languages. Mm-hmm. This is a first grader.
Yeah.
She basically acted as an interpreter for her parents.
Oh, absolutely.
And I thought that was unusual, but yet that happens more and more when stories that I hear from other people. So that obviously has something
to
do
with it. It's very, very common.
How you match people up. Language is a part of that mix, I would have to think.
Yeah, absolutely. We were at an event, the Building a Refuge event with Mike Rieckhoff at the beginning of the month, and we had a table there, and I had a gentleman come up to the table, and he was deaf. And so he was asking if we have the need for possibly a deaf mentor. And I said, you know, I don't know if we have that need right now, but we would love to stay in contact with you, because even if we don't have a deaf mentee, I could totally see that we would have a mentee that has hearing, but parents maybe that are deaf.
And sign language is a language skill. You know, that is like learning another language.
Absolutely.
Because when I worked for the federal government, I was around a lot of people who had various levels of deafness and many who communicated through sign language. Mm-hmm. I tried to do some rudimentary finger spelling, but that, trust me, that was very, very, yeah. very elementary. I couldn't, you know, when I see people who quickly sign, I thought, well, people, other people don't understand the tremendous skill and background you need to use sign yeah. language. So that's very interesting. Now, once you have a student that's matched up with a mentor, you have the mentor-mentee relationship, what happens next?
So once we do the match, then we set the mentoring schedule. And so they will have the same day of the week, so let's say Wednesday at 10 o'clock. And so the mentor goes to the school, and for the first time, they'll meet with our campus coordinator, our campus coach that's at that school. And they do a brief orientation, you know, just kind of get them acclimated to the ins and outs of the school process, checking in and who works the front office, and just kind of a welcoming kind of session. And then they're there to kind of facilitate that first meeting with the student and the mentor. And they kind of just work on their own to develop that relationship. And we kind of have some toolboxes with conversation starters and maybe activities. We're starting to collect different board games and decks of cards and just things that the mentor and the mentee can do together to distract themselves from just the awkwardness sometimes of having a full-on conversation with eye contact. So we kind of put different things in place to help facilitate those.
Because it takes time to build trust between two people. It doesn't matter Absolutely. If they're adults or an adult and a child. Yeah. It takes time, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It takes time, and sometimes more time than most if the student has maybe had some situations in life that causes them to not trust people so easily. So we have to kind of take a little bit more care with those.
And you usually have a pretty good rundown if that is part of the issue
yeah.
then. So
yeah.
you and the mentor have to work together to try to figure out how to break
Exactly.
that barrier you probably are looking at. So I know you're always looking for people to be mentors. You probably mm-hmm. have more people needing mentors and mentors that you have. So
yeah.
when mentors come forward, what sort of qualities are you looking for in an adult mentor?
Well, we have, you know, a couple of requirements, and the minimum age needs to be 25. We will take an exception on that, though. I know that we have a young mentor that is in his early 20s, maybe 21, that has the same life experience of a young man that came into the program that we needed to match up. So in that situation, we felt like the life experience and him being able to come alongside that kid was going to be so much more beneficial than if we said, well, let's just wait and find one that's over 25 years old. So we went ahead and made an exception on that one. But really, just they don't have to be of a certain age to have life wisdom. I think we just need caring adults to give a listening ear. And you don't really have to have special training. We'll train everybody. But it's... We like to think that's a little bit more complicated than it is, and it's really not. It's very simple. It's just really sitting down on a weekly basis and letting that student just talk, because mm-hmm. sometimes they don't have that ability.
When you do set these pairings up, do you have a goal in mind with the mentor, or is it just let things flow as they flow?
We kind of let them flow. Mm-hmm. Now, when the student comes into the program, we do a student application, and they get the opportunity to say, what are some 5 things I might want to work on? So if the student's older, then it might be more of life coaching, goal setting, kind of thinking about what's after high school, if they want to go to some sort of career, vocational training, or if they want to maybe go to college, what sorts of things do they need to have in place to kind of get better prepared for that? And if it's younger, then it might be just talking and having conversation. And it's letting the student feel loved and valued and that they matter. We surveyed the kids at the end of the year last school year, and almost every single response when I asked, how did having a YMI mentor impact your life? Almost every single one of the kids said, I had someone to talk to. And so we like to think that it's really complicated, but it's not. It's really not.
I remember speaking with Darren Heil, who mm-hmm. created the program, still very much involved and very much a supporter. And he was there on August 30th when you had your fundraiser at the Ambassador House, and I remember talking to him in the early stages of this, and he said, we just really need, as a society, as a city, just as we come together, however, in whatever way we do, to make sure that we're paying attention to young people who are having issues.
Yeah.
There are a number of nonprofits that you work with, I'm sure, that do that in this area. And explain the specific area that you really want to concentrate on as far as making sure that youth, people who are young or are going through some difficult times, have some support where they might not have it. Why am I not around?
Yeah, it's I kind of feel like there's a lot of different agencies that serve kids really well in Fishers. But what about the kids that are in the middle? You know, they're not the ones that have the biggest need, and they're not the kids that have, you know, just the genius level smarts to where they're getting the awards and the accolades and all the different scholarships and opportunities. What about the middle of the road kids? You know, the ones that they're not really acting out, so they're not really on anybody's radar. They're not a discipline problem. They're just existing. And we need more than just to exist. You know, we need relationships. We need to feel valued. We need to feel loved and heard. And, you know, when Darren first started this organization 10 years ago, it was kind of to serve the at-risk youth. And I've said since the beginning, I feel like all of our kids right now are at risk. I've got 3 girls and 3 teenagers. Well, actually, my 19-year-old just turned 20, so I guess that's not true anymore.
Yeah.
But I think with social media and all the other things that are coming at our kids right now, they are getting bombarded with different messages of who they should be and how they should act. And if we, as the caring adults in their life, don't counterbalance those messages, they're going to be very confused. And they're going to start acting out on those things that they see on social media. And they're like, oh, well, you know, I'm seeing all these things, so that must be who I'm supposed to be. And we can't let social media and technology dictate to our kids the kind of person that they're supposed to be.
Yeah, the algorithms are marketing tools. They're not necessarily making us better people every time.
Right.
I went to high school in the late 1960s, and I look back on that and look at today. I'm not sure I'd want to be a teenager today. It was difficult then. There was turmoil in society. Obviously,
yeah.
There was a war going on, and there were a lot of other things happening. But I look at today, and I think these young people, they've all got pressures, and you mentioned technology being a big part of it, that I never had to deal with.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So you're right in the middle of that with Why Am I?
It's tough. And parenting right now is really tough. I kind of feel like we are parenting trial and error because it's not – I kind of jokingly say, you know, it's not like we can call our mom and say, hey, Mom, when Snapchat came out, how did you parent me? Or, you know, what kind of things did you put into place to make sure that I kind of kept everything in balance? And we don't have that. So parents right now are just grasping at, you know, whatever they think might works for their kids and parenting and, you know, their household. And I'll tell you what, it's a daily battle sometimes with technology and devices. And, you know, our kids have all the tools that maybe you and I didn't have growing up. But how do we give them those tools and let them use them for the best benefit rather than, you know, for not so good things?
Yes, I follow you.
Yeah.
With mentors, someone's listening or someone listens to this and mentions to somebody else, what's a process that one goes through to become a mentor in your organization?
Thank you for asking that, because a lot of people might think that it's such a tough process, and it's really not. It's very simple. They would go to our website, and that's whyamionline.org, and start the process of completing the mentor application. Now, we'll tell you the mentor application is pretty thorough, and I'm glad that it is, because we like to get to know our mentors before they even join us. And so there's a mentor application process. There's a background check that they have to fill out to even go into one of the schools. And then go to a mentor training. And we're trying to have mentor training available on a weekly basis so we don't have that backlog of mentors coming on. And then once we get the mentor training done and the background check and all that, then we get the matching process going. And my goal at some point would be that no more than maybe a week that a student would have to wait on a mentor. But I will tell you right now, I just ran some statistics in preparing for our board meeting tomorrow, and we have 36 students waiting, and 30 of those 36 are boys. And so that means 30 boys every day ask our campus coordinators, have you found my mentor yet? And we have to say, no, not yet, but we're working on it. And that is a really hard place to be, not only for our staff, but also for that kid that has already said, okay, yeah, I do want a mentor. I want to put myself out there and be vulnerable and just see what relationship might come of this. But then, you know, also thinking, well, wow, they haven't found somebody yet for me. Am I not important enough for somebody? Sure. Am I not valued enough? And I really don't want these kids to get that message that we as a community, yeah, we preach about mental health and, you know, that we have you, but do we really? And so I really challenge everybody to think, you know, are we doing everything that we should for these kids? You know, are we getting out of our own comfort zone and getting out of that bubble of I'm so busy? Because really it's an hour a week. You know, it's not a lot, but it can make such a huge difference.
In the time you've been executive director and involved in the program, is there maybe one story, and if you can't think of one, more than one's okay without using any names, where YMI has made a major difference in a young person's life?
There are so many stories, but as soon as you asked that, the one that came to mind was we have a mentor that mentored a girl for 4 years, and her mentee just graduated last year. And when we asked with our end-of-the-year survey, how did having a YMI mentor impact your life? And she went through and just said that having her mentor taught her what love was. And that still to this day brings tears to my eyes. And I don't think we're going to necessarily hear all the positive feedback, because I think sometimes those kids, they may not realize the impact until they get older and they look back and think, you know, wow, that mentor really kind of got me through those times. And had I not had that mentor, I might not have been able to get through it as well as I did, or I might have gone down a totally different path. So I try and encourage our mentors that we have now when they say, Allison, I don't really know if I'm making a difference. Mm-hmm. And I just try and tell them, yes, you are. We may not know it, and we may not ever know it. But I'll tell you what, if we didn't do it, we might see the consequences of not reaching out to that kid. So I think we've just got to keep moving forward and do what we need to do for the kids and making sure that we're giving them everything out of us that we can give them.
It's a really interesting point, because we're in an era where we try to measure success all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's not easy to immediately measure success. Sometimes you don't know until much later on. That's something we all need to keep in mind. I know that you're the executive director. I mentioned your board of directors, and that you've added a couple. Talk about the staff that works with you to keep the organization running day to day.
We have some pretty amazing gals that work for us, and I don't know if it shows on my face, but I feel it. I feel my face just kind of beam a little bit.
There's a smile that came on your face. Yes, I can describe that.
I have some pretty amazing people that I get to work with every day, and so we have Amy Krell. She's our director of operations, and she's been around YMI for quite a while as our administrator, and so she's director of operations. And Jennifer Kimball, she's our director of mentor development, and she's kind of in charge of all our mentors. And then we have Hope Matthews, and she's our campus coach and director of campus development And then we also just added campus coordinators, and we added four of them to kind of oversee the programs in the intermediate and the junior highs. And so we have Courtney Lawhead, and we have Gina Evans, and we have Nancy Foley at HSE High School. We have Jessica Christensen, and then we also have Deanne Birchall.
I just remember on August 30th when you had your fundraiser that Mayor Fadness was there and spoke, even though he knew that his son was going to be born the next day.
Yeah, the next morning.
And he talked about that. I thought, wow, you should feel good about the fact he didn't try to get out of that.
I know. And they kind of had us prepared that he may not be there. So honestly, I kind of thought that maybe he wouldn't be able to come. So I was pleasantly surprised to see him there that morning.
Well, obviously, he's a supporter because one of his major staff members is now on your board of directors. So.
Yeah.
Anything you'd like to add before we wrap this up? Anything I
I'm just so grateful for the opportunity. You know, any chance I get to share YMI with people, I just love that. And, you know, I'm just really, I don't want to beg, but if I have to, I would just say that if anybody could consider mentoring, to please consider it. I don't think there's many more things that we can do in this life other than directly pour into the life of a child. And this is pretty important stuff.
Allison Gatz is the executive director of the Youth Mentoring Initiative. I'm going to say it right here in Fisher. So Allison, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
My thanks to Allison Gatz for joining me on the podcast. If you would like to become a mentor or would like to donate to Youth Mentoring Initiative, go to ymionline.org. This is the Larry N. Fishers podcast. My name is Larry Lannon. I write the LarryNFishers.com local news blog from Fishers, Indiana, a suburban community northeast of Indianapolis. Thanks for listening. We'll talk again.